Well, guys, it's official. ABC Family has officially made its transition to Freeform. And today we're talking about two brand new Freeform shows called Grown-ish and Alone Together. So don't move a muscle.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin. Watch our
world, I'm grown. Yeah. Okay.
I got a little bass to it.
A little bass.
It's a great song.
Ladies and gentlemen, what you're hearing right now is a theme song to Grown-ish, because we are reviewing both that show and Alone Together, two brand new Freeform shows here on TV Pilot Reviews on AfterBuzz TV. Guys, my name is Jeff Graham. If you want to find me online, you can do so at Jeffrey C. Graham. And this is a show where we review Hollywood's hottest new pilots, and we can't wait to talk about these two brand new comedies from Freeform. But until we do that, I've got some amazing, smart friends that I would like to introduce as well.
Hi guys, Linda Antwi. I am all across social media as Linda So Girly, and I'm looking forward to talking about these two shows.
Hey guys, I'm so excited to be back. I'm Sam Davidson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at SamD43, and I am in the live chat, so send us your opinions. I'd love to hear them.
And I'm D'Angelo Hickamy. I'm D'Angelo. You can hit me up on Twitter at D'Angelo TV or on Instagram at D'Angelo, and I'm happy to have the whole family back.
Yay! It's been a while. Yeah, Sam, guys. Welcome back. We missed you. Glad to have you.
Thank you.
It's good, though, because we're talking Freeform, which is kind of your zone.
Yeah, not tonight, though.
Precursor to how you feel about the show.
Let's start with you, then. We're going to start by talking about Grown-ish. So just so you guys know, we're talking about two shows, both Grown-ish and Alone Together, as I mentioned. We'll start by talking about Grown-ish. Sam.
Okay, it's not that I didn't. I did like Grown-ish. I just felt, I don't watch Black-ish, and I felt like I was missing a big piece of the show. So I almost feel like I can't confidently say if I liked it or not because I don't watch Black-ish.
Okay. But in fairness, I do think a good show should stand on its own.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A good spinoff, because if you think about it, like Frasier is a spinoff of Cheers, but it's a totally different thing.
I agree.
So I think you can stand on your own grounds and say, you know,
a successful spinoff.
Right.
I mean, I'll just say, compared to the second show we are going to review, it was fantastic.
Spoiler alert.
Sorry.
No. I'm excited to get into it. Dee, what did you think of Grown-ish? You're a Black-ish fan, right?
Yeah, I mean, I like Black-ish. I actually didn't like the first season of Black-ish, but after that, I feel like it got stronger, and I'm thinking maybe something similar is going to happen with this show, because it had some good pieces, but... I'm kind of in your boat. I was just kind of like, it's okay. Yeah. It had some things.
We have some opinions in the chat. ZSB Lou said she loves Grown-ish and Little Miss thought it's so cute. She also liked Alone Together.
Great.
And of course, now we have Linda.
I liked it. I won't watch it, but I liked it.
Yeah.
I think that I agree with you. I feel like there needed to be a background with Black-ish, and I don't watch that show, so... I felt like, it was kind of like a modern day Breakfast Club to me.
Mm-hmm.
So that part I like the misfits and the drone thing. The drone thing made no sense to me, by the way, but I got that and that entertained me. But will I be watching it? Probably not.
Yeah, I kind of felt like Grown-ish was a very wobbly pilot for what I think is actually going to be a pretty good show. It's funny. I feel like we've watched pilots and I've thought like, I don't know how this show is going to be, but I feel like it got enough right that I feel like it's a sure-headed show and it knows what it wants. Or sure-footed, that's the expression, sure-headed. But I think it knows what it wants to be and it's going to get there. But I did think this pilot was kind of shaky.
Yeah.
I think like it wasn't doing all the things that a pilot needs to do. We talked last week about Tina Fey's take on a pilot, and she says, pilot scripts are particularly difficult to write because you have to introduce all the characters without it feeling like a series of introductions. You have to tell a story that's not only funny and compelling, but also dramatizes your main character's points of view and what the series would be about thematically. I think if we look at those three things, it does one or two of them, but if we're talking about not wanting to make it feel like a series of introductions...
Oh, it did, yeah. It was telegraphed, for sure.
Yeah.
And that thing they were doing... You know, the House of Cards where you look to the camera and you talk to the camera.
Yeah.
I was like, I wasn't sure if I liked it for this specific genre. Because I was like, you're throwing me out of character each time that you do that.
Yeah.
They also do that with Black-ish, though, don't they?
Do they do that with Black-ish?
The talk to camera? I don't think, like, Anthony Anderson's character narrates, but I don't remember them looking at the camera and saying something.
Yeah, there's voiceover, but there's no, like, breaking the fourth wall.
Right. I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that in Black-ish.
It was weird to me.
Well, you know, I think part of the issue is doing a spinoff. I'm very fascinated with spinoffs. I think it's a cool thing that happens in the TV universe, but I think they're very hard.
Yeah.
because I don't really know the background, but I don't know if this served as a backdoor pilot for Black-ish. And, you know, they just, which that means basically is they would have aired this episode or something very similar to it during, like, as an episode of Black-ish to see how, you know, the audience took it.
Which they did do. They gave, like, a semi-pilot episode during their most recent, not the season that's airing now, but the season before. But, mm-hmm. and maybe I'm biased, but I don't feel like a successful spinoff, as you've kind of noted, I don't think you should have to know all the stuff before. Like,
no.
And so if you guys feel that way, then I think they just didn't accomplish their goal in that pilot.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you, D. Like, I just think, like, a spinoff should both satisfy the fans of the original show, but should be able to bring in a new audience as well. Which I will say, I think this is a smart show for Freeform to be producing. Mm-hmm. It's very adolescent. Not to say that Freeform is limited to adolescent content, but at worst, it's millennial, right? Like, mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of their stuff at least targets people between the ages of 18 and 35. I feel like once you're getting past that age, it's not as much a Freeform thing. Mm-hmm. So I do think tonally, it's feels like it's at home on this network. To answer your question, D, it was episode 23 of season 3, mm-hmm. titled Liberal Arts. And for those of you who are a little confused, this is a spinoff of Black-ish. I haven't explained that yet, but it's featuring Anthony Anderson's character's daughter, Zoe Johnson, played by Yara Shahidi, mm-hmm. going to college, and kind of her coming of age as a college student. Mm-hmm.
I think that was also a critique I had is, I was like, okay, who is this for? If it's mm-hmm. like for preteen, like in that age, that makes sense. But some of the scenes they had, I was kind of like, okay, maybe like the bathroom scene. I was just kind of like, okay, I don't know if preteen that works. It's like,
yeah.
right.
kind of decide who you're going for and then maybe hone in on that.
Yeah. yeah. And I do really love Freeform, but I think with some of their newer content, one of the biggest problems they're grappling is that they aren't really sure who they're going for specifically. They're trying to go for a female demographic that is maybe a little bit too wide. Mm. And I think they have certain shows at different time slots to target like specific age ranges, but it's all a little bit blurry.
Mm. Yeah. Go ahead, Linda, please.
No, I read online that they're trying to be the competitor to Disney. So they want to have that young adult audience. And specifically young females, so.
Yeah, what's interesting, I mean, like, I've always felt like Freeform has a bit of an identity crisis. Mm. And I feel like you can feel that identity crisis in the name of the network, right? Mm-hmm.
It's a terrible name.
Like, even the name of the network doesn't know what it is. Like, yeah. it's Freeform. Like, yeah. so.
We can do whatever we want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody, it's a free world. Mm-hmm. It's a Freeform network.
Exactly. But I do feel like they've gotten better. Like, I feel like little by little, they're starting to figure out who they are. But I will say, we're going to talk about this, but there were two shows we watched today. Mm. And these two shows do not feel like they should be on the same television
not
channel.
Not at all.
At all.
Very different.
Aside
targets.
From the fact that it's the same age, in yeah. terms of tone, type of character, look, feel, totally different shows. Mm-hmm. And we can talk about that a little more. But from what I know of Freeform, this feels right at home. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys agree or not, but
I mean, even though I don't watch Black-ish, I don't know. I thought like, oh, that's an I know ABC owns Freeform and all of that because they used to be ABC Family, but you know it could have been on ABC too.
Yeah.
But it just is kind of weird, like completely shifting networks for a spinoff. Usually they stay on the same network,
right?
Most of the time.
Yeah, I mean,
go ahead.
I was just gonna say, well, I don't know how you said that it's supposed to be like a competitor to Disney. Mm-hmm. Like if it's part of ABC, if Disney's like owns like all of them, right? So maybe they're like kind of bringing a different umbrella within their same
yeah, that's true.
Bracket. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
yeah.
I just randomly thought about that. But so maybe that kind of goes back to the like, okay, what's the vision? What's the purpose with the show?
Yeah, I do think there might be a little bit of tonal confusion. Like, yeah. I agree with you, D. Like, I don't know exactly who this is for. I kind of think maybe college students. Like, they're just really trying to hone in on, like, that 18 to 24.
That's yeah. exactly, I think, too.
Because I felt a little old for this, and I'm just outside of that window.
I felt that way, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I do think that this show will find its feet.
Mm-hmm. You know, I agree.
Especially with Anthony Anderson executive producing it. I think that that comedy that he brings to the table mm-hmm. will flow through the show eventually.
I mean, hopefully, yeah. because so many people say they're executive producers on things, and that doesn't, it could mean they're super involved or they are just paying for a lot of it, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think Yara is going to be a big pull for, if they are going for that age group,
yep.
she has a big following in that age group. And
yep.
I think, I would say from a standpoint of acting, I don't think the acting was bad.
No.
I think
no.
it was
no.
just like the vision of the show yeah. that yeah. makes it feel just like, kind of cheesy almost.
Well, yeah.
I thought I know some of the cast members were on Blackish, but in general, I thought the casting was really, really good. I liked all of the kids and mm-hmm. got the characters they were going for. I wasn't annoyed by them.
Yeah.
Well, with that, let's go ahead and talk about them, because I agree with you. To me, by far the strongest thing about this show was the casting.
Yeah.
We have Yara Shahidi, who I think is great. Yeah, she's playing Zoe Johnson. We have Dion Cole playing Charlie Telfy. I think he's the guy with the kind of rat tail.
Dion Cole is the professor.
Oh, he's the professor. Yeah,
he's on Blackish, too.
He's the only other guy.
Right?
Those are only two from Blackish that are
gotcha.
On
Gotcha. Okay, okay.
Doctor.
Yeah.
Trevor Jackson playing Aaron Jackson. Emily Arluck playing Nomi, who I think is the character who kind of has a sexual coming of age in the show.
Yeah.
As you guys know, the further we go in the show, the more spoilers we have, so you've been warned. Francia Reja, who's playing Anna Torres. Mm-hmm. Interesting subplot. We'll talk about that. Mm-hmm. Jordan Buhat, who's playing Vivek Shah. Mm-hmm. I gotta say, he's a new actor. To me, he was kind of the breakout of this episode.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He's the attractive Indian guy who kind of looks like Drake.
Yeah, that was funny.
I thought he was really fun, and I'm excited to see more of him. And then Chris Parnell, who I've always liked.
Yeah.
Playing the dean of the school. And finally, Chloe X Halle, which is apparently a pop duo.
Yeah.
Yes.
Playing the twins.
Signed by Beyonce.
Okay,
Beyonce
nice.
Put them on, yeah.
They're singing that theme song, too, just so you guys know that we heard at the top of the show. Yes.
Okay. It just clicked.
So in my notes, I have, good, this is the strongest part of the show. As you mentioned, Linda, I think this show is deliberately making nods to The Breakfast Club. Mm-hmm. I think, like, it owes a lot to John Hughes. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think this show would exist without John Hughes.
Yeah, and she's literally spelling it out. Yeah. You know, it's like, this is really similar to The Breakfast Club, which I like.
Me too.
Because they are directly taking from it,
right.
And that's okay. But to acknowledge that, I appreciate.
Mm-hmm. I would have liked it a lot better had they acknowledged at the end, like, kind of saved that, and then, like, the end be the poster.
That's a good point.
That they made. I thought it would have been a cool thing. Like, let us get there on our own instead of just being like, hey, this is what we're doing. It's Breakfast Club.
I agree. Yeah.
I get the feeling that maybe they did it in the beginning because this is Blackish is kind of still like, it's called Blackish. It's like a black show, or at least targeted for that. And I feel like Grown-ish is trying to break that.
Yes.
They're trying to, they have a very diverse cast. Like, I feel like maybe they wanted to get their attention to begin to be like, no, this is not just for one type of people. We're trying to make it multicultural. That's why this mm-hmm. whole cast and the whole friend group is like multi-race.
And I also think too that their target audience doesn't know Breakfast Club.
Yes.
So
that's
they
why
wanted
they
to like
to.
Set the
spell
tone
out,
right away.
Like,
this is what this is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I mean, like, I do think our generation, maybe, or even the generation just below us, is due a Breakfast Club. Like, they need to get their own version. So I feel like that's what this show is trying to be. And just so you guys know, that brilliant voice you're hearing chiming in every once in a while is our amazing producer, Brianna, who I believe has also watched both of these shows. I know for a fact she's watched Alone Together.
Yes, so. I did watch both of the shows before tonight, so I will be chiming in when I feel appropriate.
Please do. I love it. So I think we all agree the characters and performances are probably the strongest thing about this show. I think the writing is where I feel like this is a bit lacking. And it's interesting, Linda, you mentioned that you're glad Anthony Anderson is an EP on the show for mm-hmm. the comedy component.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel like the comedy is the thing that's going to make this show this show.
What do you think is the writing?
Well, I think it's more like, I'm thinking something more sentimental, something more coming
college.
Of age. Yeah, something more, like, something more almost Saved by the Bell. Like, kind of that almost 90s Moesha, Breakfast Club. Like, almost that feel-good character-driven stuff, rather than joke.
I think that's what they're aiming for, too, for sure.
Yeah,
I
hope
agree.
So. And I hope they don't get lost in the jokes because it's a spinoff of Blackish and that is the format that they're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think they'll either figure it out within three episodes or they won't.
Yeah.
And isn't it created by the same writers as Blackish? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It has a similar feel to it. A little bit of difference, but...
It does.
It feels the same.
And I actually think spinoffs work best when they do shift the tone of the original source material. Because I don't know if you guys watch Mary Tyler Moore at all, but they did a spinoff with Lou Grant, and that was a drama. So they took that character and put him in a different world. Even if you look at Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul...
Yeah.
Tonally, I feel like Breaking Bad is a straight drama, and Better Call Saul can be pretty funny.
Yeah. Mm.
So I think they were smart to hone in on the fact that this is a show about college students. Let's capture the nostalgia of a lot of these classic coming-of-age stories.
Mm-hmm.
I fear that they are actually going to get lost in the jokes, because I kind of felt like when they tried to get too funny or silly, it kind of deflated the...
Moment?
I don't know if you guys agree or not.
I feel it. I agree because that's actually how I felt about the first season of Black-ish. Mm. I just felt like, I was like, okay, what am I watching this for? It's like, it was just really, really goofy. And it was just like, but then the jokes weren't hitting the way it needed to. Yeah. And I just feel like it took them a minute to kind of find that. And I'm fearful and hopeful that that's kind of the issue here. Because pilots, as we've seen, is very difficult to write.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry, Sam. You can go.
I was just going to say, you know, Freeform and ABC, they are very different. Like, they're programming their audiences. They're somewhat, you know, overlap. But Freeform is much more specific. And I think the problem with this pilot was I almost imagined there was two executives pulling it in two different ways, you know? Like, well, this is a spinoff from ABC. No, but this is Freeform. Like, this is the kind of content we want. So it's like, that's why we liked some stuff, and then other stuff we felt completely pulled out.
Yeah. I was just going to say that I think it's kind of like a hard pilot to review, kind of what you guys have already touched upon, just the fact that I felt like a lot of it was... this is this character, this is their backstory, this is why they're in this class. And they did that for each character, and then we got nothing else really besides that. So it's, like, hard to feel where this show is going to go past this episode.
Yeah, I have a feeling that it's going to be a solid show. Yeah. I just feel like, again, this was a shaky pilot for what I assume is going to be a solid show.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I think so, too.
Because I think it's got enough going for it that it seems like production and the creative team has a hold on what they want to do.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Okay, cool. I mean, is there anything else we feel like we want to talk about with with Grown-ish?
No.
So we actually never did our pass or plays. Thing we do, guys, is when we give our overall thoughts, we give, would we watch the show or would we pass, and would we recommend that audiences watch the show or pass? Go ahead, D.
I'll give it a play because I'm with you. What a great pilot, but probably has a lot of potential.
So. Mm-hmm.
I probably will give it a pass for me personally, but for others, especially those that watch Black-ish, if I did watch Black-ish, I probably would give it a play.
Yeah.
Yeah, so for me personally, I'm a pass, but I'm a play for this audience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I gotta say, I was surprisingly charmed by this cast. Again, we talked about these performers. Like, I'm interested in this Indian drug dealer who wants to be Drake, and I'm interested in this kind of... impassioned civil rights guy. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I think I loved Dear White People, and we've talked about that show some, and I think this has some of the same, like, college students finding who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I might watch another. Yeah, I'm a play, and I would recommend it for people who like this kind of television, too. So.
Cool.
Yeah. We also always rate the shows out of 5. Pilot alone, what would you score out of 5? I've got mine, if you guys want to think.
You go first.
I give it a 3.9.
3.9?
3.9.
Oh, I'm not even going that high.
Yeah, I would.
I'll give it a 3. That's what I'd give it.
3.9?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think you're really hard.
I can go.
I feel like I just blew everyone's mind.
I was going to go 3 as well. 3 for just the pilot alone.
Yeah.
3.9 is high, man.
Linda's going to destroy
That's a 4 out of 5, bro.
Yeah. It's a 3.9.
I'm going to say, for the pilot alone,
3.0. Three threes and a 3.9. Brie, do you have anything else you want to say about Grown-ish before we kind of move on?
No, I'm good.
Last thing, do you guys think the show's going to make it? How do you think the prospects are?
It's going to make
100%.
It.
I mean, they have way too big of people backing it. They can't piss them off.
That's true.
Regardless if it's going to be good or not.
It's definitely going to get at least a second season.
I was going to say the same. I think they'll at least get 2 seasons.
Absolutely.
At least.
Cool. Well, before we move on to Alone Together, for both of these shows, I want to know, do you guys think we should be running an after show? Again, to be clear, this is a pilot review show. So what we do is we watch pilots and we let you know what we think of those alone. If you're interested in in-depth coverage, we want to know because it will influence our producers to potentially green light an after show. Let us know if you think either Grown-ish or Alone Together should be covered as a seasonal show here at AfterBuzz TV. Up next, we will be talking about Alone Together, which was also a Freeform show and which aired tonight. I can't wait to talk about this because I'm feeling so much energy from you guys. Let's start with D'Angelo Platt.
Man. You know, it was rough. I'm not going to lie. You know, I've seen the trailers for it. We've criticized some shows about, like, not being marketed and didn't know about it. I knew about the show. I actually knew it existed. And I could understand the premise from the trailer. So I was, you know, I had an expectation coming in. And I just feel like it didn't hit home. It just wasn't there. I'm sorry.
That was really kind. And
I'm trying to be. I gotta be. Man. I don't know what y'all about to do, so
we
I gotta
be.
I'm
not
a nice
gonna
guy.
Agree right now.
Good. All right. What you got?
So I felt embarrassed watching this because I am a comedian. I am Jewish. Like, I honestly just felt mortified watching the entire thing in complete honesty. It's probably not the nicest thing to say. It had Lena Dunham syndrome, which is just because you create a show and write it and you're a good writer does not mean you need to be in it, especially if you think the show could do better without you. To me, the two lead actors were so bad that every other side actor, even if they had two lines, I was just laughing at because I didn't know. They were just making me laugh way more than the two leads. I mean, yeah, we'll get into it, but I just kind of felt really, like, repulsed almost. I'm so sorry. I really hope no one that does the show watches this at all because I know they tried. I know I get what they were trying to do, but it did not work in my book.
Linda. I thought it was tedious. It took me a really long time to get through it. Agreed. And to focus and to really kind of figure out what exactly they're doing. Like you, I saw some of the trailers to the show and I thought it could be super funny, right? Because what's that show from HBO, The Five Friends?
Oh, Looking?
Like, no.
Girls?
No, I'll think of it. But we're
Togetherness.
No.
There's so many HBO shows about
it. But making fun of LA, like LA lifestyle, basically. Which
Entourage.
Entourage, thank you.
Yes.
So I figured it was going to be similar to that, but more funny, really? Because I have a bunch of stand-ups in it.
Yeah.
Like a bunch of stand-ups.
Yeah.
So how could they not be funny? But then I watched it, and yeah, that's the only word I have. It was tedious.
Guys, I kind of liked this show a lot.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. It's hard. I got to say, I'm a big fan of Little Esther. So it's hard for me to go in unbiased because I've been following her as a stand-up for a long time and in other stuff. And I like Benji, too. And even Eben Russell, who also co-wrote this show, I'm familiar with his work. And a lot of these people who showed up were UCB people I like. Interestingly, it's executive produced by Lonely Island, which we'll get into. But I can see the complaints you guys are having, and a lot of critics are having them, too. But I thought it was very funny. I thought it was very sharply written. And I don't know, do you guys watch Difficult People at all?
I do.
I've seen some episodes.
Do you like it?
I think it's hilarious. Those two are a hot mess.
So knowing Difficult People, did that give you any ground? Because I feel like there's a lot of similarities between that show and this show.
You know what I didn't like about the show, perhaps, is it was more whining. Like, whining.
All
Difficult
the
People
yeah.
is more like self-deprecating.
Mm. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that's what is funny to me. But like, oh my God, I'm not pretty enough. Oh, I'm not skinny enough. Oh, I don't have a job.
But I also don't know if you guys felt this, but I'm also just kind of tired of the shows taking people that aren't actually unattractive by that. Like, I don't find either of the two leads extremely unattractive, and I don't find her fat at all.
Because she's not.
And then for them to be there and just having these characters say that, I'm like, this gets done so much, and I'm just kind of over it.
Yeah.
And just to jump off what Bree said, especially when your audience is supposed to be young adults and young females, like, what are you saying to your audience? If Esther's supposed to be fat and ugly.
I totally agree with you. There's a lot of, especially from a feminist standpoint, a lot of problems with this show. And it's interesting because Esther's comedy is very, like her stand-up, is very pro-woman and sharp and smart. And I think there's a lot of actually kind of female issues in this show that I don't know if they thought all the way through their writing and kind of what they were saying about women. And so, I don't want to speak on that because
just because our live chat is kind of popping.
Yeah.
So we got a couple opinions in there.
Please, yeah.
A couple of them actually are with you, Jeff. They were feeling it. It kind of popped down, but Little Miss, Olivia says she'll watch it if I'm bored, and she also loved Blackish. Little Miss says she liked, he or she liked it. And then Zalsby Lyle said just give it a season. So we got some fans of the show.
Well, yeah, it has a second season
already. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, okay, so Esther, the comedian, she wrote this too.
Mm-hmm.
That was just very shocking to me because I was listening to this thinking, God, this is how guys think we talk. And I can, like, tell when men write dialogue like this. And she wrote it. I mean, I don't know. I am kind of just, like, bemused here.
And maybe there's also an aspect of, maybe they didn't deliver it well, but I'm thinking maybe there's just an aspect of satire.
Yes.
And you guys, you can't tell me. I mean, You tell me, because I'm not a woman, but I have heard females talk like this in general, especially in LA.
Right.
And I feel like they're making fun of LA in that way.
Yeah.
But it just, I don't know if it was delivered well. I wouldn't say, because when you think satire, you don't take it literal for what they're saying. They're trying to make fun of a culture,
mm-hmm.
which is what they were trying to do, I think. But I just wasn't feeling it.
I would have been on page with you, D'Angelo, had the male characters in the show also not been agreeing with her.
Fair. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Explain what you mean, because I'm interested, Brie, but I'm like a step behind.
Like, she's calling herself fat, she's calling herself ugly, and like her best friend's just sitting there agreeing with her
right.
the entire time. And so are the other people around them. They're also not finding these people to, they're calling them awkward, they're calling them weird, they're calling them kind of losers and stuff. So it's like everybody's on the same page. Like, them and everybody around them is all on the same page about who they are.
Yeah, and I saw someone comment earlier, you know, well, she isn't like skinny for LA. LA does have a stereotype of having lots of beautiful skinny women, but LA is a big city that is full of a ton of diversity. It's not just skinny girls walking around. Like, and it's not, you know, yeah, there are certain guys that only think that's sexy, but you can find that anywhere.
Yeah.
There are a lot of different kinds of people in LA, and that girl, in no way, shape, or form, I mean, and this is, again, what I was talking about, putting yourself in a show that you maybe shouldn't be in. She should have been overweight a little bit, at least had something, because there was nothing about her that was appalling. She had a really cute little body, she had a cute face, long brown hair. It doesn't make any sense.
Right. I think really good television shows give you a window into a world. And I think what this show is at least trying to do is present to the world what this culture of young comics in their 20s is like. Mm-hmm. And I know you are one of them, Sam, so you can speak to whether or not you agree. But I will say I've trained at UCB, which is where a lot of these people come from. Both yeah. Esther and Benji trained there, which is, for those of you guys who don't know, it's an improv comedy school initially founded by Amy Poehler.
I trained there too. You trained yeah. there. Yeah.
And I just felt like this attitude, these platonic friendships that are totally grounded by self-deprecation
mm-hmm.
and like playful criticism was so familiar to me.
It is, but there was something about the delivery of it. There was something that he said to her, and I go, whoa, that's mean.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was just like, here's the belt, and he went like 2 feet under it, and it was just random. And I'm like, that was unnecessary.
You guys feel like she was getting it more than he was getting it? Because I feel like he got a lot of...
Well, no, he did. It's like one of those things where, you know, you're hitting your brother, and he's like, oh, leave me alone, and then he punches you in the face, and you're like, whoa, whoops, I shouldn't have pissed you off.
I just thought it was interesting because, like, honestly, the only analog would be difficult people, but they at least kind of get along.
Mm-hmm.
What I liked about this was it was very interesting to see two almost siblings kind of realistically bash each other.
But they got along.
But they did get along. Yeah. That's like, that dynamic is kind of rare. And I think that's probably why the show got greenlit, is because you read a spec script like that and you're like, oh, I actually haven't seen this before.
Yeah.
So, like, I feel like you said, I see what they're doing with it. And I think that it could be a really cool show and a really funny show. I just think that for the pilot, I wasn't sold on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wanted to add this too, because I just feel like this was good. Little Miss in the group chat just said that she talks like this and it was just really relatable to her. And she said she grew up in Los Angeles. So maybe she was like, maybe it's just a West LA thing, but maybe there's also just a group of people here who just really can relate to this. Like, they always just don't feel like they're good enough, blah, 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 and they kind of like are making fun of the culture in a way. So maybe we're also just not the target market for this.
You know, so I wrote something down, and I think if they had this one component, I wouldn't be so upset about this show. I do feel, like, upset about the show.
Yeah.
I wanted to see it flashbacks, or at least, like, them talking about stories of when they were younger, why they are the way they are, why they think these things. They mention a little bit about their lives, but it would have been helpful if we would have seen, you know, her getting a flashback of her getting bullied and then, like, going to a therapist and,
mm-hmm.
oh, my God, this is what I always think about myself. And, you know, him always being used for his money, something to make us relate to them.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think the show's designed to make us like them or relate to them. It's interesting because it's definitely not like a show that's really interested in character work. I think it's interested in, like, sketches. Like, you can tell it's written by sketch people.
Yeah.
And it's, I also think, you guys might not agree, but I did think the writing was pretty sharp. Like, I found myself laughing a lot during this pilot. Did you guys find it funny?
I chuckled. It was.
I had like
it was
two
just,
chucks.
Yeah, it was just hard to get through for some reason. I'm still trying to put my finger on why.
Yeah.
I
mean, nothing really happened.
Yeah. No.
It was very hard for me to get through.
I mean,
very hard. I think that there are funny moments.
The scenarios were funny. Yeah. The scenarios were actually pretty funny to me. The escorts and all that.
But I also felt it was a little choppy. Like, you find out in the first, like, 10 minutes that they're both comedians. And then there's, like, one scene where they're in the comedy club. And then that's it. And then all of a sudden she's an escort. And then she's not in the... It was, like, so choppy. I was like, okay, so what exactly is going on here? Like, is this about two comedians who are trying to make it in L.A.? Or is this about... You know, two comedians who are worried about, just self-obsessed, like worried about how they look and how they are perceived by other people. I don't know.
I hear you. To me, I think that is where it's messy. I feel like it's about a very unique friendship is kind of like what I saw. Mm-hmm. And like, I think they want, in the same way that Broad City is Abby and Alana, mm-hmm. I think they want this to be Benji and Esther. Like, I think they want it to be like, we tune in for them. We tune in to see their dynamic. And I was here for it. Like, yeah. I'm going to watch another. But I think a lot of people won't be, and I definitely understand why they wouldn't.
I think I feel like I was kind of like low on it, but like the more we're talking about it, I'm kind of coming over towards it.
Yeah.
I will even give it credit for something they did that was better than Grown-ish in how they introduced the character. I think the first scene was like really well written because mm-hmm. it wasn't preachy. It didn't tell us who it was, but she like slept with this larger guy. He throws the mouthpiece on the ground. She picks it up and put it in her mouth. And it just gives us insight into their character and their dialogue without telling us how to feel about them.
So ZSB Lou in the chat said, I wonder if the writers wrote for MTV's Faking It or Awkward because the tone and styles seem very much the same. I watched both of those shows and I totally get what you're saying, which is to the next point that I was going to get, is that this is on the wrong network. Completely.
I can't wait to have that discussion because I totally agree.
Yeah.
Where would you see this living instead, Sam?
Comedy Central.
I mean, honestly, it's not good enough. They want to be on Comedy Central. It's not good enough for Comedy Central. Certainly not good enough for FX. I think. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Keep going.
I mean, MTV probably. MTV would have been the appropriate place for this show.
I think it could really work on MTV, especially they did this show loosely exactly Nicole, which I think might have with Nicole Byer, who's also a UCB girl.
That one's also being brought back, I think, by another network.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. What's interesting is every network they pitched it to bought it, and they chose Freeform.
What?
Yeah, I was reading an interview with Little Esther, and she was saying, her comedy name is Little Esther, but on the show she goes by Esther Pavatsky. But she was saying that they went with Freeform because Freeform wooed them the most. Like, Freeform really, really wanted them and gave them a lot, which feels like a weird choice. Aside from the fact that it's about millennials, this does not at all. Because I feel like Freeform wants to give us a very full picture of millennials. You look at Grown-ish, and these are round, interesting characters, whereas these two are, like, vapid and shallow. It feels like it totally contradicts, like, the gospel that Freeform is trying to preach.
Yeah.
Which is, like, this generation.
That could all fit into the millennial thing, though. Like, you definitely have all types of those, so.
For sure, that's true.
Yeah. And I know you guys in the chat think I am being a little harsh, and I do feel that. I feel, like, guilty about it.
Don't.
But Little Miss, too, said that Freeform needs it.
Yeah.
You know, it is... something, you know, there's so many shows. I read an article too about how they didn't want to make it that much about them being comedians because there's so many other shows like that right now. Mm-hmm. But that's what they're getting into. It's a show about comedians. You know, so many networks have that almost. I mean,
I honestly think that, like, if they want this show to work really well in Freeform, they're going to have to hone in a lot more on the kind of love story that happens between the two of them, which they kind of seemed like they might.
Yeah, it'll
geared
happen.
Towards
it's
that.
It's going to happen. Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think it was pretty obvious that they're going to end up together.
I think the show is directly pushing back against what we expect about TV in general. Like, I think the show is designed to bait us with things that we expect to happen and then throw it back in our face. Mm. So I kind of think that the show is going to totally defy our expectation that they get together, which I kind of appreciate because, like, a guy and a girl don't have to be romantically involved, you know? I don't know. Maybe they will, but I just feel like they're siblings to me.
But the trajectory of the show, several characters commented. They go, they're meant to be together. They're meant to be together. So it's like they want to put that in our minds and remind us. Like, that's.
But I think it's going to what he's saying. Mm-hmm. He's probably. They're throwing the stereotype in there, and then they're going to shatter everything that you think.
Which, if I continued to watch it, would just, I'd throw my TV out the window.
I mean, that's also kind of what Crazy Ex-Girlfriend does in a way. It takes what you think should happen and, like, doesn't let you have that. And she also is on that show. I will say Esther is, she kind of plays exactly the same character on that show, but I think it works better with Crazy because she's like a smaller character, and like that kind of character in a smaller dose works better for me personally.
I get
that.
That
as a main character.
I mean, I think all the criticisms I'm hearing are totally valid. Like, Sam, I know you're feeling harsh, but, like, I think what you're saying is super valid.
Yeah.
I just think, like, this is going to not be a show for many people. And, like, critics are not biting, which is interesting. I just think I like it. I don't know. I think it's a show for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just feel like it was made for my exact demographic, mm-hmm. like literally for me, you know? And I just really feel the opposite way about it.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. But then again, you do watch a lot of, like, I feel like you love character-driven television. Like, when I think about the TV you like, it's a lot of, like, really the backstories, the character motivations.
Yeah, very true.
I feel like this show is not interested in that at all.
It's about the scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It almost also reminded me of wanting to be You're the Worst on FX.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You know, very... And I like that show.
I like that show, too.
Yeah, it's good. It didn't succeed, I don't think, but I think that was a bit of what they were going for.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it's interesting because a lot of times on this panel, I really agree and respect with the things that everyone says, and it can kind of change my mind, but I just like having these conversations with you guys.
I'm glad you liked it. I'm glad somebody did.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the points you bring up are, like, super valid. Linda, I feel like you were saying something earlier. We didn't cut you off, did you? Was there anything left unsaid that you wanted to add?
If it was, it's past.
Sorry about that.
Oh, I did want to say, though, that I read that it's a bunch of comedians in the next 5 episodes. So it's, like, all stand-up. Like, Chris D'Elia.
Chris D'Elia, mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's going to be throughout it. And then a bunch of other stand-up comedians. So I think it is really going to be about stand-up comedians.
Yeah.
Then I should watch it and...
Give it a chance. Support your comedians.
I'm going to have to.
I will say, I think what the pilot did well was, like, show us what the show is.
Yeah.
Because, like, obviously we all have strong opinions. And I feel like the worst thing you can do with a pilot is let it finish and then no one has opinions about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Agreed.
So I think in that way it probably is a successful pilot. Whether or not people are going to like the show, I think, is a big question mark.
Yeah.
I mean, Chris D'Elia, who we really haven't mentioned much, I mean, he's had several TV shows. He had Undateable on NBC. He's one of the biggest stand-up comedians right now. Very, very funny guy. He's a really big get for the show, and I'm surprised he's doing a show that he's not the center of.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is. The Lonely Island is executive producing it.
Right,
so,
again, yeah.
If you guys don't know who that is, that's Andy Samberg and his comedy writing partners, Yorma Taconi and Akiva Schaffer.
And I love them.
Yeah.
Love so much.
Yeah. It is interesting. Do you feel like this feels on brand for them?
No.
Yeah, I kind of don't either, to be totally honest.
I'm, like, very confused what they had to do with this or if it was just one of them. Because it's not Andy Samberg to me. I'm like, I know him.
Yeah.
I didn't do this.
Well, it sounds like we have mixed opinions on this show, which makes for a fun conversation. But I would be curious for those of you guys in the comments who have seen the show, let us know what you think. I think this show is not only divisive, but was kind of made to be divisive. So I'd be curious to hear what you guys think. Any other thoughts regarding the pilot as a whole before we score it?
I think it's really cool these comedians had the opportunity to do this, and I'm really happy for them that they got a second season. You know, that's, like, a big deal, and it's very great. I'm going to keep on watching it. I'm going to give it 3. It's going to be painful, maybe, but I'm going to do it in hopes that my opinion changes a little bit, because I feel guilty that, like, fellow comedians, you know, that are right around me, peers, that I am hating on their show so much.
That's fair. Linda, what would you score this out of 5?
Oh, you want me to go next? I'm going to go... Okay, let me preface it from last week's pilot and then Grownish, mm-hmm. and then this. So I'm going to probably say 2.
Okay.
Yeah.
1.7.
Oof. I think it's the lowest you've ever given.
You actually sounded like Esther when you gave that line.
I think it might be part of the problem is I'm so scared that I'm, like, sounding like I don't know.
The truth.
It might be too close. So, I don't know. Maybe that's
I don't feel good. So. I give it, like, a 2.25. Like, yeah.
We're, like, really breaking, you know, fractions.
What are you doing?
I'm giving this baby a 4.1.
Oh my gosh.
That's
I know.
Totally
I know.
Blowing me away. 3.9 to 4.1.
And then
for
higher than Grownish?
Whoa. Yeah. I liked it more than Grownish. I mean, but I also get, like, I think it was a messy pilot, and I think it was probably pretty problematic, but I don't know. I just think, like, it's doing a lot of the things that I really like. And I do think I've got some lines. By my age, Amy Winehouse was already famous and dead.
Yes, I laughed at that. That.
I laughed so much. I thought the "you're a talking penis" bit was like so stupid, but just really that was funny.
Goofy. It was just something about delivery, almost the directing, and I'm not sure what it was. The pauses between cuts, it just didn't. It was off. It was like the first time someone had done this.
Yeah, the editing was a little shaky. I agree with you, actually.
With comedies, it's very important.
Yeah, I'd rather let an entire Greyhound bus spit in my mouth than have sex with Benji.
Yeah, that was really descriptive. That was funny.
Yeah, I don't know. I just like, I think I'm someone who loves sharp writing, and that's like, that is the maybe arguably the only thing about this show that's working.
Very stripped down jokes.
Yeah, just a lot of jokes, and they were, I was laughing a lot. So I gotta say I like it, and I'm gonna keep watching.
Cool.
Well, guys, this has been TV Pilot Reviews. You heard a lot of opinions about two pilots that just aired on Freeform. One being Grown-ish, and one being Alone Together. As I mentioned already, let us know what you guys thought.
Did we do our pass and play? Did we already do that?
Oh, yeah, we should do that.
Let's for sure do that. Yeah. So your pass or play and your audience pass or play.
Pass for me, but I can see an audience like in this, so play for them.
Yeah, it's going to be a pass for me, even though I'm just going to, for research purposes, watch a couple more episodes.
Well,
but
that's nice, nice of you.
I want to support, but it's pass.
I mean, you guys already know it's pass for me.
Double pass.
I think this is a rare one. I'm a play pass where I know I'm going to like it, but I don't know if I'd recommend it to anyone.
It's like you're embarrassed about liking it.
Do you think because you two are like UCB alumni that you have kind of an affinity to it? And also because you're a comedian that you want it to succeed because maybe it's like your peers?
Yeah.
And that's why you think it's so great?
Hmm. Well, I don't think it's great, but yes, I do like feel... You know,
you're rooting for them.
I'm rooting for them.
I get it.
Yeah,
that
I get makes it. Sense. Yeah, okay, I get that because I like comedians too. So,
yeah, I mean, I want to see
it
keep
better.
Yeah, I want to see it keep airing because I want to keep watching it. Yeah. So that's where I'm at. But as I was saying, guys, let us know if you think we should have an after show for this. Because again, it helps the producers make their choices about what we should air. We are here every Wednesday at 9 p.m., guys, reviewing pilots. We had people in the live chat today, which was great.
So awesome, guys. Thank you so much.
So much fun.
Keep it coming every week.
Keep it coming. But yeah, we're not an after show. We're a pilot review show. So we review brand new shows every week and let you know our thoughts. We had a lot of them today. So thanks for tuning in. Guys, my name is Jeff Graham. If you want to find me online, you can do so at Jeffrey C. Graham. Before we go, I do want to also shout out Brianna, our engineer. Brianna, are you BFIPS14?
Yes, BFIPS14 on Twitter and Instagram.
Follow her there, guys. And I have some brilliant co-panelists as well.
Linda Antwi, Linda is so girly, all across social media. Super happy that I made it through with the cold.
You guys can find me, Sam Davidson, SamD43, Twitter and Instagram, and SamDavidsonEntertainment.com.
And I'm D'Angelo. You can hit me up on Twitter at D'AngeloTV and on Instagram at D'Angelo. Shout out to you guys in the live chat. You were popping in here.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Got some recommendations for next week, too.
So. And it was nice to have everyone back.
Yes, the whole family back together. Yes,
so good to have everyone back. Guys, thanks for being here. Again, this is TV Pilot Reviews. We'll see you next Wednesday at 9 p.m.
Deuces.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.